Welcome back to Reboot with Dr. Arasi Maran. I'm your host, Dr. Arasi Maran. I'm a board-certified interventional cardiologist at the Medical University of South Carolina, but this podcast initiative is completely separate from my faculty responsibilities at the university. The main goal of this podcast is to get you empowered, ready, and have all the evidence-based science to help you reboot your health. So, this recording is happening around the holiday season, and literally my DMs are all flooded with one question. Dr. Maran, how do I survive the holiday season without derailing my health goals? So today I have brought the perfect guest to answer this and much more. Dr. Aisha Khan is a double board certified physician in internal medicine and obesity medicine. She serves as the track lead for lifestyle medicine residency at the Northwell Health, one of the nation's most prestigious program. And she has been at the forefront of the GLP-1 revolution and how it's changing the way we approach obesity. Dr. Khan, welcome to Reboot. I'm so glad you're here joining us during this holiday season.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maran, for having me on here. So definitely, I practice internal medicine, obesity medicine, and lifestyle medicine. And this part of the year is all about the holidays and family time and good food and then lots of traveling to be close to family.
Yes, yes. So it kind of gets very tricky, right? It kind of gets like, how do we manage the stress of the holidays, meeting long lost families? Do I tell them I'm on GLP-1? Do I don't tell them? Do we discuss this? There's a lot of guilt and shame and, you know, and trying to normalize yourself, trying to not be different from the people around. And then just a vicious cycle of guilt, shame, stress eating, and then losing all the progress you've made, and the, you know, just the last 6 weeks of the year, you just get messed up with everything. So I thought it'll be good for us to kind of come up, you know, have you talk about a strategy as to how to manage this really beautiful time of the year, but also a tough time to navigate.
Yes. So the holidays can be very stressful, especially if, as people call it, like, are you on the shots because you've lost so much weight? I haven't seen you in like 6 months. I hear this question a lot from my patients that I'm going to see my family and they're going to ask me. And, you know, that's not easy to answer. So I am asked by my patients if they keep their, you know, keep taking their meds as they were before the holidays, and my answer is usually a yes, because it's these GLPs are the same as taking your antihypertensive medicines, the same as taking your, you know, the diabetes medicines or any other medicines that you might be taking. So it's okay to take them while you're traveling or meeting family.
Yes. For those who, I mean, I think you have to be living under a rock if you don't know what GLP-1 agonists are. We're talking about medicines like Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound, etc. They're pretty much everywhere. And, you know, it came for diabetes maybe, but it had a beautiful side effect of weight loss and appetite control. And, you know, now they talk about how people are using it for even addiction. Bigger, and now from the cardiac standpoint, also, like, these medicines have beautiful benefits from secondary prevention of heart disease, etc. But the biggest question is, there's still this amount of shame, or this almost like, are you cheating in life because you are taking a GLP-1 for weight loss and treatment of obesity? Let's start with that question. I'm sure you get that question a lot.
A lot, yes. So the way to answer that question is that, does it feel like you're cheating if you're taking your blood pressure medicine to bring your blood pressure down? I don't think so. So similar is, obesity is a chronic medical condition. It's a chronic relapsing, remitting, inflammatory condition. And it's treated the same way in my office as like the anxiety or depression or cholesterol problems or arthritis.
Absolutely.
So there's no shame with any of those conditions. So there shouldn't be any shame with what the number on the scale is.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so unfortunate that we have put on so much emotion into a number on the scale. But the more than the number of the scale, these medicines now, you know, like obesity is one of the biggest causes of cancer. And if by being on this medicine, if you're reducing your chance of cancer, getting cancer in the future, I don't understand why we won't use science to help us. It's almost for me like, oh, we have electricity, but we will go back to lighting candles and lighting lamps for, you know, it's almost like that.
Yes, echoing on that, obesity is unfortunately associated with 14 different types of cancer. So, and top ones are like breast cancer, colon cancer, thyroid cancer, so on and so forth.
So one of the biggest ways these obesity drugs or GLP-1 drugs work is by reducing or increasing the time it takes for the stomach to empty food. So patients get full faster, they eat lesser portions. But all our holidays are very food-centric. So what would you advise patients who are on these medications, how do they navigate these food-centric holidays?
Yes, so that's a very good question because 90% of the serotonin which is produced in our gut is associated with happiness. Almost all our holidays are associated with lots of chocolates and desserts and food and the turkey, yes, and everything else and greasy food, which can be a little bit of a problem if you're on a GLP. So smaller frequent meals is what is usually recommended if you're on a GLP. And in the holidays, what can be helpful is if you choose to be with less greasier foods and choose smaller portions so you don't feel sick to your stomach.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you think of holidays, like, you know, let's count, like we're talking about American holidays. There are multiple holidays. We talk about the standard holidays, right? You have Thanksgiving Day, which is a big Thanksgiving dinner in most families. Then you have pre-Christmas dinner, Christmas Day dinner. Then you have pre-New Year dinner. So, and then if you're Hanukkah, you have the big Hanukkah dinner. So it's about 5 to 6 days or 5 to 6 big meals or meals in general you're thinking about. And we shouldn't let one of them be an excuse to fall down the slippery slope and fall off the wagon, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I think if you kind of think it like, okay, there are going to be 6 meals and I'm going to, you know, plan myself for those 6 meals, I think we would have a better time to navigate it instead of saying, oh, I've given it up for Thanksgiving and from Thanksgiving all the way to the New Year, I'm going to just let go. That's when you get the pounds back or all the bad habits come back to you, right?
Yeah, agreed. So toward the family feast, a few tips can be helpful and they can be things like, you know, starting with just the turkey, starting with the protein and the veggies, mm-hmm, and eating more slowly, taking small bites. And because we know that if we eat too fast while on a GLP, our symptoms get worse. We could get nausea, we could get heartburn or reflux. And yes, stop when you're satisfied, not full. Don't wait for your belly to feel full. Once you're satisfied, you should stop. And other things can be like avoiding alcohol on an empty stomach. So because GLP-1s, they reduce the stomach emptying, just like you said. And then alcohol on an empty stomach can hit harder and can worsen nausea.
Oh,
so things like that can be helpful.
So let's talk about alcohol itself, right? Because usually we start drinking first and then moving on to food itself, right? So, and that, as you said, it delays your stomach emptying. So alcohol is sitting in your stomach for longer. So it's getting absorbed in various amounts and it can hit you differently compared to before the drugs too, right?
Yes. So having like a light protein snack before your alcohol drinks, usually there are appetizers along with the drinks. So maybe, you know, reaching out for the appetizers before you reach out for the glass of wine.
Yeah, that's a good one. So the way I manage myself is, you know, number one, I don't go for wine because I feel like wine is more freely available. I take a drink with a sparkling water, and I keep refilling the sparkling water. So it still looks like I have my glass is still full, but most of the time I'm drinking water or sparkling water. I do that. And, you know, I sometimes feel people go on this fast and feast mode on holidays. Like they know they're going to have a big dinner, so they don't eat the whole day and they're already starving and super hungry for food. And then, you know, by the time they see food or by the time dinner comes, they tend to overeat. Do you see that a lot in your practice?
Yes, that ravenous eating is what can make people sick while they're on a GLP, because they've been empty stomach all day or almost empty stomach, and then they have a lot to eat, and then their stomach emptying is already slowed down, and this will not end well.
Yeah. So there's no point in trying to save calories, right? Like, might as well eat the same amount throughout the day instead of trying to starve yourself or anything like that, right?
And I tell my patients that, hey, I want you to lose weight, but in a healthy way. If it's the holidays, I want you to enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner with the family, because, you know, it's meaningful to us. Just because you're a patient in my weight loss practice doesn't mean you don't get to enjoy the birthday cake. You don't get to enjoy the turkey. I'm not taking off all the pleasures from your life.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's also important that it's just not the food. It's also meeting family and hanging out with them, playing board games. And there are so many other sources of joy which happens during, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, apart from just food too. So it's around the food, but you as a person who has this medical condition can be more mindful about it maybe and be like, I'm going to enjoy time. Yes, and food is also going to be there.
Well said, Dr. So very important. That very the family get together and the chats and everything else, all the fun times are beneficial for our mental health. And as we know from the pillars of lifestyle medicine, social connection is a big part of our health. So absolutely, if these are family members that you really want to be with and want to have a good time with, that's going to play a role in how your mental, emotional health, and even physical health can be after the holidays.
Yes, absolutely, right? Because you don't want to go for a family dinner and be this Grinch who did not enjoy Christmas and then come back almost more resentful about your time and then be like, oh, everybody had a good time, but I didn't have a good time. And that can even worsen your obesity itself, because depression and good happiness is linked to your weighing scale, unfortunately, right?
Yes, it is, because our mood can affect how our appetite cues are, how our hunger hormone ghrelin can work, how our stress hormone cortisol is. So if those are up, then we're going to make worse food choices and we're going to eat more after the holidays because of the regret and the, of course, the resentfulness. So I want my patients to be happy first and foremost.
Yeah, interesting. So like, give me some practical solutions, right? Well, I mean, like, let's say we have Thanksgiving dinner coming around the corner. What the day off, the day before, I mean, do you reduce the dose of the GLP-1s to manage this? Is there any utility to doing that?
So definitely, you know, if during this time of the year, if as a patient has been on a dose, I would keep them on the same dose and not move them up, because going up on the dose can bring side effects like nausea and reflux. So I would never change a dose, bump it up at this time. Maybe come down, but practically I haven't done that in this week or the past several weeks, because the patients are steady on their doses and their appetite cues and their hunger cues. They're doing well. They're stable. They're having their 2-3 meals a day with snacks in between. So that dose is working for them. So I tell them to make sure that they keep the medicine refrigerated with an ice pack or in an ice pack if they are traveling to meet their friends or family. But if in case the medicine goes to room temperature during the travel, it is still good for about 28 to 30 days. So it's not it's gone bad. So and then take medicine as you're supposed to take it. But if you are very sensitive that, hey, I do feel a little queasy if I eat a little bit too much on my medicine, then I can ask them to, hey, a difference of a few days is not going to be, you know, bad for you. If you want to skip a dose, sure, that's fine. Because patients do skip a dose or two if they're going for like a surgical procedure, if they're sick. Sure. So it's okay to skip a dose for the holidays.
You know, that's actually a very good point. And I loved the travel bundling you did there. So you can travel with the GLP-1 or an ice pack or something like that. Keep it refrigerated if you can. And if you can't, even at room temperature, for 30 days is a good chunk of time to be in room temperature and not and still have a good shelf life, right? That's yes. a very important point. So thank you so much for sharing that, because sometimes that can be an excuse. I can't travel with my medicine, therefore I'm not taking my medication. Can
yeah. And Amazon travel. Has like these little carrier pouches for like if you search for like an insulin medicine refrigerated pouch, just like for $10 or $12 with a cute little ice pack in it, which is uh-huh. good for carry 2, 3, 4 pens.
Ah, okay.
And you Fantastic. Can even take the airline flight with it and it's not a problem. But even if it goes to room temperature, it's gonna be fine.
You know, obesity is a chronic disease, and we are kind of in this because of some of the habits are very long lasting and very kind of endorphin releasing, like food becomes our friend, right? And there might be a very close relationship with this amazing mommy's pump. Pie or the cranberry jelly or something like that. You know, there's a nostalgia with that food, and it's more of the memory of that food which makes us want to eat. How do you navigate that when you're on the GLP-1?
So if you're on a GLP-1, the GLP-1 is acting on the appetite center in the brain as well as the pleasure center, and the lower GI effects are there as well. So by saying that, I mean to say is that most foods that give us pleasure, like if Coca-Cola gives us the high, we don't get that anymore while we're on a GLP. If a specific Starbucks drink or like a candy bar gives us that high every time, most patients on a GLP don't get that anymore. And that is because of the central effects of being on a GLP-1 agonist.
Nice.
So the thing with that is maybe that cranberry jelly or, you know, that gravy doesn't taste that great anymore. So you won't reach out for that second or third helping. But if it does, just be aware of not overfilling your stomach too much, because you could get nausea or you could, you know, even feel like you have to throw up. So it's okay to ask the host to take some of that home so you can enjoy it at a later time. And you don't have to enjoy all of it at the same time as everybody else.
Yes. You know, sometimes I also think of, you know, life as like a 80-20 rule, that you, if you're on track of on your meals for 80% of the time, you could have 20% flexibility. So 3 meals for 8 weeks, it's 168 meals. And if 30 of those meals are splurge meals, you're still on track 82% of the time. I mean, we are all perfectly imperfect human beings, and we don't need to beat ourselves up and go and self-depreciate ourselves because we had a splurge like that. And I love the fact that you're talking about how the GLP-1 also changes the way you react to food. I mean, that's why now they're talking about GLP-1 being used for addiction also, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
have you seen patients?
Yes, especially with alcohol and smoking even. So most of my patients who came in drinking alcohol, and I warned them that, hey, if you overdrink alcohol, if you're doing alcohol more than that is recommended, you know, it's always, you know, good to be cautious of the fact that you could get acute pancreatitis because of the alcohol and your obesity and because of being on a GLP-1. But guess what? I want you to try to stop drinking your alcohol, but I will also tell you that being on the GLP will help you to not drink, because you won't have the drive or the desire to drink anymore, maybe at this dose, maybe at a higher dose.
So I think right now I would like to go into like a rapid fire holiday tip kind of a
Yes, let's do
session.
that. Yeah, let's do
Yes.
that. It's fun.
So you have a holiday party, okay? There is only heavy appetizers, which are all carb rich, etc., but there's no real meal. How do you navigate that?
So all carbs are not created equally. So this is what I tell my patients. So if it's all carbs, try to see which one are the starchy ones, the starchy appetizers, and which are the non-starchy appetizers. So, and it also depends on what the starchy carbs are. So is it like mashed potatoes? Is it like fries? Then I'd rather go for the mashed potatoes. If it's like different assorted veggies versus some chips and stuff, I would go for like the carrot sticks or the celery sticks
Yes.
with the dressing or with the hummus, you know. So choosing,
Yeah.
just coming onto the table and gauging what will be the better option for you. But then again, I tell my patient that moderation is the key to success. It's okay if you want to have a few pita chips with the hummus. It's okay if you want to add some veggies to it. Just don't overdo it.
Yes. I mean, there have been times I've ignored the pita chips completely and just had teaspoons and teaspoons of hummus, which is fantastic itself by itself, right? And sometimes in these parties, I try to prioritize my protein because protein intake can be very complicated with the amount of food you are overall having. So if there's a shrimp cocktail, oh my God, that's fantastic. And it's pure protein there itself. Veggie trays, like what you said, and lots of water. I think hydration also becomes difficult, right, during GLP-1 therapies.
Yes, it can become difficult. So talking about hummus is great because it's high in fiber and it's high in protein as well. So it's going to fill you up quickly. And it's also helpful if you have maybe a few spoons of hummus before you drink of alcohol. It's going to help.
Ah, interesting. I like that little cheat there. I'll try it the next time. We just had Halloween, and everybody's leftover candy is now sitting in a giant bowl in the office. And every time you're walking past the break room or wherever, this giant bowl of candy is staring at your face. How do you deal with that?
So, because of the holidays, of course, things are gonna be there, and gifts are coming into the office, and it's mostly desserts or brownies or things like that. Just, I think, a little bit of refocusing into what's important to you. So it's beneficial to realize that the candy is there, but then just realizing or thinking to yourself, what is important to me? What is this candy gonna do for me? Is it gonna give me any nutrition, or is it just gonna give me sugar, which is empty calories? So just something like that. Or just,
Yes.
like in my office, everybody has been more health focused since I've been there, and we try to give the candy away or not have it there. So reinforcing
Yes.
boundaries.
Yeah.
Like we had the Friendsgiving in the office, and it was a lot of like healthy foods. It was a lot of like veggie trays. It was healthy protein. It was like healthier tacos. It was like hummus, and it was pita chips, the multi-grain ones, so things like that.
Good. Substitutions, right? I mean, for me, out of sight is
Yes.
out of mind. And so this candy bowl, which was there, I said, guys, I literally lifted it up and put it in a corner and say, I'm a chocolate addict and I cannot be exposed to chocolate. So please keep it away from me. And, just you have to find creative but funny ways to navigate the situation by itself.
I love that idea. I think I'll have to use this one this week.
No, but I think my biggest problem was chocolate. I just it takes me back to a much simpler time in my life when I was a kid and I didn't have responsibilities or something like that. So I just have to stay away from chocolates. During the holidays, there's another component. You have family members who push you to try their food or try their specialty dish which they made very, very aggressively. How do you tell your patients to navigate that pushy family member who's aggressively trying to feed you?
Yes, so it's funny because we all have that scenario. All of us definitely encounter that. So that what can be helpful is saying, trying to be, you know, a little bit stern or just gentle with that family member, depending on who that family member is, that, okay, give me a minute. I will definitely try your specialty. Or if they're too pushy, just trying a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to fill your whole plate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My trick is, take it in your plate. Just don't say no. Don't, you know, explain back and forth. Favorite way to navigate it is don't try to have an extensive back and forth dialogue with the person, because then you'll be propagating it and making it a point of focus. Instead, accept it. Accept whatever they say and say, it's very good. All right, I think I see another friend there, and walk away from them, move yourself away from the environment, and you don't have to finish what they gave you. You've tasted it. You've done your due diligence about being a good Samaritan and trying what they made you, but you're not compelled to kind of finish the whole plate. So be curious about it and be like, yeah, it's, and give them a good criticism. Or say, oh, it's delicious. I'm going to take it home for a later time. So you're deflecting the situation and deferring it to another time. So I like deflect and defer method as well.
I love that idea. I love that idea. And then be very smart about hiding that plate under another plate.
Yes. Or put a paper towel over it. No one will know what is going on. You know, that's unfortunately, whether we like it, holidays does come with a lot of wastage of foods, which, you know, which is a separate problem, unfortunately. So then, you know, let's talk about this. What if you did go off plan and you did splurge on a Thanksgiving meal, okay? And you ate way too much and you feel awful. What's the recovery plan?
So the recovery plan is to just take it easy. If you are due for another GLP shot in the next 2, 3, 4 days, you can skip that so that, you know, this everything goes back to normal. But if you've already taken it and you're not due for another shot in the next 5, 6, 7 days, then just take it easy. You know, try to take small drinks of water. Maybe ice water can be helpful. Maybe something dry like crackers, multigrain crackers or multigrain pita chips can be helpful. And just taking it easy. But if you feel terrible and you want to throw up, then you should definitely contact your doctor. And if you start throwing up, then I think you need to get medical help.
So, you know, nausea and vomiting is like a big, big part of being on GLP-1, right? Is there a way you can say, oh, I'm beginning to get nauseous, or what kinds of nausea can you manage at home? And what kinds of symptoms do you definitely need to go to the doctor versus when do you go to the emergency room? How would you put these three in different spots?
So very good question. So usually patients get nauseous if they have never been on a GLP and this is new for them. Of course, their body is adjusting to a new medicine. But that's the reason why these medicines are always started at the smallest dose possible. And I tell my patients to have smaller frequent meals or snacks, and taking smaller sips of water throughout the day can be helpful. But if you get nauseous, or if patients tell me that their stomach is a little bit more sensitive than their family members or peers, then I tell them that, hey, you know what? Just keep this prescription of Zofran. And if you get nauseous, you can take it. And, you know, there are people who've never really been nauseous all their lives and they don't think they'll be nauseous. And, you know, if they get a little queasy, then, you know, just be gentler on their stomach and maybe have meals that are bland and not try to overfill their stomach every time they eat. Yes. If somebody throws up 1 or 2 times, which I've not had happen, honestly, then, you know, just take it easy. But if they're throwing up a lot, they can't seem to stop and they get start having abdominal pain, then they need to call their doctor or seek medical help.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, that's very valid, right? Like, because there is a risk of acute pancreatitis, which comes in with abdominal pain and nausea and vomiting. So to be able to differentiate just the novel nausea and vomiting you get with GLP-1 and the one associated with acute pancreatitis is important.
So the acute pancreatitis, I tell my patients who've never heard of the term acute pancreatitis, is severe nausea and you can't stop throwing up, and the abdominal pain is the worst you've ever had. Then you need to be seen. But then again, there have been cases of acute pancreatitis while on the GLPs, but mostly it's not a patient who has just this one risk factor. Like my patients with obesity already come in with some risk factors to get acute pancreatitis, and their weight is the number one. And add on top of it, if they drink alcohol, that's another one. If they have very high triglyceride levels, that's another one. And if they're on a GLP, that's another one. So all these risk factors, they add up. So I just tell them, if it's a patient with higher risk to develop acute pancreatitis when they come to me, I tell them, if you have severe abdominal pain, call me. And if I'm not reachable, if I'm not on call, then you need to go to the emergency room because we need to have a
Absolutely.
CAT scan and have a medical person lay their eyes on you, check your vitals, and make sure it's not acute pancreatitis, because guess what? That can be life-threatening.
Absolutely. And now, if you've had acute pancreatitis on a GLP-1, are you forever, can never be on a GLP-1? Is it a contraindication per se?
So it depends on why that acute pancreatitis happened, right? If it's because of a gallstone, we know why that happened. If it's because you had too many drinks of alcohol or your triglycerides are through the roof, then that's another cause. So unless it's acute pancreatitis on which the emergency room doctors or the hospital doctors can't seem to find a reason why, and they say that it's only because of the GLPs, then yes, we are asked to proceed with caution.
Absolutely. So if I'm kind of consolidating what you're telling me is acute pancreatitis can be just because of the GLP-1s, if that could be one scenario, or you could have other risk factors for acute pancreatitis like elevated triglyceride levels, excessive alcohol consumption, or gallstones, which you're passing through causing pancreatitis. And if you have a secondary cause for acute pancreatitis on GLP-1, then there is a possibility you could reattempt at being on the GLP-1. Fair
Yes,
enough.
absolutely. Yes. I've had a patient actually who came to me, and then I asked her, do you have a history of acute pancreatitis? And she said yes. And I was like, wow, in my head. And I asked her, tell me more. Were they able to find out why you had acute pancreatitis? She said, yes, I had a gallstone which trickled down my ducts, and then it caused acute pancreatitis. And then I said, what happened next? And she said, well, I was in the hospital, I was very sick, but they ended up doing a cholecystectomy, and I don't even have my gallbladder anymore. So I was like, okay, good. We know why that acute pancreatitis happened. So let's proceed ahead. It's okay to give you a GLP-1 agonist. And she did
So
very well.
fantastic. I mean, this tells you why you need a doctor navigating a patient through this journey and, just not taking it like a weight loss medication, over-the-counter weight loss medication. This is a perfect example for that.
Yes, these medicines, like all other medicines, cannot be just ordered off, from online websites. Would you order a diabetes medicine for yourself just online, or a medicine for cholesterol or high blood pressure? No. So I don't see how that's happening, but it could get very, very dangerous because these medicines are injectable medicines and could have very serious side effects.
So, another common side effect with the GLP-1, especially if you're having rapid weight loss with this, is gallstones and cholecystitis, inflammation of the gallbladder itself, too, right? Have you seen that a lot in your practice?
So I haven't seen that in my practice, but yes, rapid weight loss can develop complications like the formation of gallstones causing acute cholecystitis or causing blockage in one of the ducts down below, or acute gout can also happen, and that can be a pretty dangerous scenario because both of these can be very painful and could land you in the hospital. So the eventual goal while being on a GLP is to lose maybe 2 to 4 pounds a week. If you really want to do a rapid weight loss, if it's more than that, anecdotally, then you could develop acute cholecystitis or acute gallstones or acute gout. So when patients tell me, oh, I'm not losing weight too fast, Dr. Khan, it's going too slow for me, I tell them that, hey, that's what we want because we don't want complications from a rapid weight loss.
Yes, absolutely. It's really funny that it takes you years of bad habits and different chronic issues which led you to this condition. And now all of a sudden we want to get a very quick weight loss and think of this as an overnight cure for weight loss or something like that. And anything which causes acute weight loss, not just GLP-1, anything, if you go on a 10-day fast and have a rapid weight loss, that itself can cause cholecystitis and acute gout.
And again, if weight loss is still happening too rapidly for a patient of mine, and even though they're on a stable or lower dose, because mm-hmm. they've really changed the way they eat and they, you know, all their intake of calories, then there's an option of giving ursodiol to those patients. Mm. It comes in the brand name Reltone, and it could be given to prevent the gallstones from happening.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Well, Dr. Khan, we are kind of coming close to the end of our episode. If you have a message for the audience during the holiday season, what, any final parting words from you?
Yes, I want my patients to enjoy the holidays and their time with families and the foods they enjoy, they've been enjoying since childhood. But just be a little bit cautious of the portion sizes and how much alcohol you drink.
Absolutely.
Don't overdo it.
I think I would be like, you got this. You've got this. Use the support system and you know, just be like, yes, it's the holidays. Don't stress out about it. Do some mindfulness practice and have a game plan. Have a game plan as to how you're going to navigate it. Call ahead and ask what the menu is going to be so that you can think about what foods you want to eat and what foods you want to avoid. You know, just go plan. Like, you know, if you are failing to plan is planning to fail, is what we say in interventional cardiology. So, you know, it can be used here as well. Well, thank you so much for bringing so much sanity, compassion into a season that can get very stressful and can be a wonderful time, but also a guilt-ridden time. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me here today, Dr. Moran. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, so for everyone listening, remember, your health is not going to be decided by one meal or one party. It is shaped by quiet choices you make most of the days and the stories you tell yourselves when things don't go perfectly. So don't let one meal or one party sabotage all the work you've put in all these days. So if this episode helped you even a little bit, made you a little less anxious about the holidays, made you think of a game plan, please share it with at least one friend who's on a similar journey like you and who may be feeling overwhelmed, but is kind of reluctant to share that with you. And please do leave us a rating or a review on Apple or Spotify or YouTube. We would really appreciate it. So this podcast, once again, is just for general information, and it's not a personal medical advice from me or from Dr. Khan. This is just for you to be empowered so that you can do more research or have more evidence-based questions you can ask your doctor during this tough time. Until next time, remember, your health is in your hands and you don't need perfection. Just take one step in the right direction at a time. I'm Dr. R.C. Marin, and this is your reboot.